Insightful podcasts by informative hosts. Insights into Things, a podcast network.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment, a podcast series taking a deeper look into entertainment and media. Your hosts, Joseph and Michelle Whalen, a husband and wife team of pop culture fanatics, are exploring all things from music and movies to television and fandom.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment. This is episode 103, Something About Obi-Wan. I'm your host, Joseph Whalen, and my comforting and caring co-host, Michelle Whalen.
Aww.
And why are you comforting and caring, dear?
I don't know. Why?
Because
of last Friday.
Because last Friday, we had an incident.
Yep, we did.
Had to go to the hospital for a little medical issue I had, and you were my pillar of support there. You
I was your comfort animal
You were my support animal. Yes, you were. So you helped me keep things together.
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Not talking about that today, though. We're putting that in the past because everything's going better now. So in today's episode, we're going to talk in Disney Detective about going contactless at Walt Disney World with your iPhone. The Florida Governor DeSantis also is trying to go with no vaccine passports for the whole state, including the theme parks. Then in our Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy, will Liam Neeson wind up reprising his role as Qui-Gon or not in Obi-Wan, the series? And we also have cast announcements and dates for the new series, which starts filming, I think, April, right? Something like that.
Yep.
Then in our entertainment news, we will talk about What We Do in the Shadows getting another spinoff. They're going to be haunting CW and HBO Max this time. And then we'll talk about a new National Treasure show coming to Disney Plus. And obviously, we'll finish up with our insightful picks, and we have a couple of afterthoughts.
Yep.
So stick around at the end of the show for a couple of announcements that might signal a slight return to what we used to think of as normal life. Before we do that, though, I would invite folks to subscribe to the podcast. You can get video versions of the podcast listed as Insights into Things. You can get audio versions listed as Insights in Entertainment. You can find us on Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Pandora, any place you can get a podcast now. I would also invite folks to reach out to us, give us your feedback, tell us what you want us to talk about, what you don't want us to talk about. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com. On Twitter, we are at @insights_things. On Facebook, you can get us at facebook.com/insightsintothingspodcast. On Instagram, we are at Insights into Things, or you can get links to all those on our website at www.insightsintothings.com. Shall we get into it?
Sure.
All right. Go for Disney Detective.
So it seems Disney Magic mobile options are now launching on Apple devices, and how to get started for a contactless Walt Disney World park entry. Say that five times fast. So beginning today, guests at Walt Disney World will be able to enjoy a convenient and contactless new option for entering the park and doing other things around the park as well. It'll be available on iPhone and Apple Watch, but it will be coming to other smart devices later on. Disney Magic Mobile Service is a fun, easy-to-use way for guests to experience the most magical place on Earth. The service is offered in addition to other options such as the Magic Bands, which are the colorful all-in-one bracelet, which will continue to be available, and also be introduced in even more colors, designs, and limited edition fan favorites in the future. So the article talks about how you can even create a customized digital pass. So guests can create a Disney Magic Mobile Pass through the My Disney Experience app and add it to your wallet app on your iPhone or digital wallet on other smart devices. And then you can customize your pass by choosing several different Disney-themed designs that animate upon use. There's even special designs for annual pass holders and DVC members. And you can use it on multiple devices or on a single device. So you could share it with, options for family members to use. So basically what you would do is to enter the park, you would simply hold your iPhone or Apple Watch or other smart device near the access point when entering the park or using other available features like you would do with your Magic Band. So it basically would replace your Magic Band if you didn't already have one or didn't want to purchase a Magic Band, because as we had talked about before, the Magic Bands are no longer given free if you're a resort guest. You either have to use one that you've already used before or purchase a new one. So here's another option for guests, to use. Obviously, it would link up with your park pass. And also, they're going to have another enhancement of it will also sync up with your Disney Photo Pass as well. So all of your photos, once they've been taken, would download right to your phone. So you wouldn't have to go in and manually update them. So they're, making all these little, advances to make it a much more seamless experience, it seems.
All right, so I got a whole bunch of questions here, okay?
I don't know if I'm going to have the answers. I haven't tried using it yet.
So first question I have is it just to get in the parks, or does it work like your Magic Band to get into your room as well?
I believe it's going to be anything that you would normally use your Magic Band for. So park entrance, resort room entrance, payment for...
Okay.
Things.
What? And so you mentioned that it works with PhotoPass. Can I use it to scan my PhotoPass in like I can with the Magic Band as well?
Yes.
So when you go up to the photographer, yes, you have to scan your thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So it works, yes, for that as well. Okay. Yes. So this is basically a universal replacement for Magic Bands at this point.
Right. Or if you don't have an iPhone or don't want to use your smartphone, you can get a regular room key, and those room keys could be used for park entrance,
okay,
the room, and for your charge as well. So, because I'm sure there's going to be people, because I know when Disney started going towards the My Disney Experience app and everything, people were complaining because it was draining their battery.
Right.
And a lot of people, so when people had to pull up what their fast pass time was or something with that, a lot of people were complaining about the battery, on their phone going.
So, so what about, I just lost my train of thought now. That's a train that's easily derailed these days.
I was going to say that, but I didn't.
Can't think of what I was going to ask. Next question I have was, it's not available for Android devices yet. Do they have a time frame yet?
They don't list anything as of yet, but at least they're going to be supporting it at some point, because you can use the My Disney Experience app on all platforms.
Okay.
So
I remember what I was going to ask.
Okay.
Is it restricted in any way to people that are resort guests, or can anybody take advantage of this?
It doesn't say that it's for one or the other.
Okay.
Because obviously we know resort guests, they were pushing everybody to have Magic Bands because it was your room key, it was right, your charge and everything else. But as a park guest staying someplace else, you could get a Magic Band. You weren't required to do it. So yes, you could.
Now I'm going to get technical here. I'm assuming I'm assuming they haven't published any information on what average battery usage is using this app throughout the day at this point.
Yeah, nothing. Because
that would be an area of concern.
Right, because that's always something, and you see everybody with their, you know, little battery backups to charge their phone, you know, throughout the day.
And Disney has been putting in charging stations around the park as well.
So. Right.
And I think the last question I had was, lost again. Wow.
Okay.
I'm having one of those days today. Oh, does this play in any way into the facial recognition beta testing that they were doing in last week's
It doesn't
story?
Even talk about this, because this article actually came from DisneyParks.com. So this was an official Disney where the article that we talked about
was there.
Somebody that just happened to be there. So
okay. Fair point. Mm-hmm. Fair point. What else do we have in Disney Detective today?
So in some other Florida news, staying on the southern East Coast, it seems that the Florida governor moves to prevent the use of vaccine passports in the state of Florida, including at theme parks. So citing privacy concerns, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had said earlier this week that he intends to block the use of COVID-19 vaccine passports in the state of Florida. In comments, he said it is completely unacceptable for either the government or the private sector to impose upon you the requirement that you show proof of vaccine to just simply be able to participate in normal society. He went on to specifically mention theme parks, saying, you want to go to a movie theater? You should have to show that? No. You want to go to a game or a theme park? No. So we're not supportive of that. He says that he plans to use executive actions to ban their use in Florida. Vaccine passports are obviously gaining widespread attention worldwide, as they are seen as a way to enable safer levels of transportation and attendance at events. Disney has yet to make any official comment on whether it plans to attempt to use vaccine passports as a part of its future policies at Walt Disney World. Meanwhile, at the White House, senior advisor for COVID-19 response had said the government here is not viewing its role as the place to create a passport, nor a place to hold the data of citizens. We view this as something that the private sector is doing and will do.
I think it's a little premature at this point, since a vaccine passport doesn't even exist.
Right.
So to ban something that doesn't exist is kind of silly.
It's kind of silly.
And when it does exist, you have no idea what's going to be on there. Like, for instance, we both have our shots at this point in time. We have a card from the CDC, and that card has information on there about the batch ID, the location, all that stuff. So there is personally identifiable information associated with it.
There's something out there.
So that wouldn't be a very good passport. But a passport that you take that card and get a button, for instance. You know, your button could be, your passport could be as simple as a button like you had purchased for us that says, I'm vaccinated.
Right.
Would that offend you to have to wear something like that to get into the theme park?
No. It wouldn't offend me at all, you know, and this is something that we're starting to see now as travel and other things are starting to reopen. Cruise lines we'll go with that. I have a friend of mine who happens to be a travel agent and an avid traveler and has not done anything. And she has now booked a cruise, and I don't remember which company it was.
Wouldn't be booking a cruise at this point.
But it happens to be a cruise where you have to show proof that you've been vaccinated to go on the cruise. Masks are required in any public area. If you're outside, they, you know, will make sure that chairs are spread out. In the dining areas, things will still be spread out. And it lists all the places that you are required to wear a mask and where it's optional.
See, and that's sort of the problem that I have here is that the theme parks. All right, let's just stick to the theme parks for a minute. The theme parks are a private property. They're not owned by the government.
Right, absolutely.
The government can't tell you how to behave on it. Disney has the ability to say what you can and can't do, how you must dress.
Absolutely.
You know, there are very strict guidelines on what you can wear going into the theme parks.
Absolutely.
So in order to use their facilities and enter their park, Disney's well within its rights to say you have to be vaccinated to come in here.
And
you have to show proof of it.
Right. And if Disney decided tomorrow to do that, I would be okay with that.
And I would too. And the government, you know, the governor of Florida would have absolutely no say over that.
Right, exactly. Because again, it's the private sector. It's just like how stores have, you know, even though certain states now have said you don't need to wear a mask, it's not mandatory anymore. But stores that are within
just like
those
a store
states,
can require that you wear shoes and a shirt to come into it.
And there are corporate stores that have said no matter what state it's in, you still need to wear a mask. We don't want to, you know.
This whole thing strikes me as turning the whole COVID thing into another political.
Absolutely.
You know, pivot point here that someone's going to try and prove their point that they're, you know, not like I have a right to not be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Like it's such an idiotic concept.
And that's the thing is that Krispy Kreme, the donuts. I don't think we actually have one nearby, or maybe we do.
Probably better if we didn't.
Probably better. They actually had a thing that once you've gotten your shot, bring in your card and we'll give you a free donut.
Yeah.
Okay. So there also happened to be in our local area a gym who back in last year got into trouble because when our state has shut down, he kept open and all these different citations or whatever. So now Krispy Kreme came out and said, hey, get a vaccine, get a free donut. He offered, don't get a vaccine and we'll give you a free membership to the gym and you don't have to wear a mask.
Right. Which is just like childish at this point.
Right.
Just
exactly. Childish. That's
like at that point, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution.
Exactly. So here to say we're not going to require, like you said, it's not, it's up to each individual.
Right. It's up to the company.
Company to decide what they want to do.
To me, it's idiotic to ban something that doesn't even exist yet.
Right.
That is, you're just trying to win political points, you know, for a certain segment of the population.
Right. Right.
And it's like, let's not make this public. All right. Right. Over 500,000 people in the United States have died from this already. Let's try to take it a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. All right. Rant over. And I wasn't ranting about Disney. See? Look at that. Wasn't ranting about Disney that time.
That's impressive.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back with our Tales from the Edge of the Other Side of the Galaxy thing.
Sure.
For over 7 years, the Second Sith Empire has been the premier community guild in the online game Star Wars: The Old Republic. With hundreds of friendly and helpful active members, a weekly schedule of nightly events, annual guild meet and greets, and an active community both on the web and on Discord. The Second Sith Empire is more than your typical gaming group. We're family. Join us on the Starforge server for nightly events such as operations, flashpoints, world boss hunts, Star Wars trivia, guild lottery, and much more. Visit us on the web today at www.thesecondsithempire.com. Go for Tales from the Other Edge of the Thing.
From a long time ago.
Far away.
So it seems that Liam Neeson says that he would be up for returning to the franchise in Obi-Wan Kenobi's Disney Plus series. So it seems that he has expressed an interest in returning as Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn. And obviously we haven't seen him in the Star Wars franchise since episode one that came out in 1999.
You've heard him though.
Wow. That is true. You did hear him. So it seems that he's, you know, again, interested if they wanted him to appear. Obviously we know that Obi-Wan will be coming out. Obi-Wan is obviously played by Ewan McGregor. He's reprising the role in the new series along with Anakin Skywalker, being played by Hayden Christensen as well. When asked about the calls from Star Wars fans to bring back the character of Qui-Gon, he had said, "I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard that at all." So after being assured that yes, there was a demand from fans for him to return, he'd said, "Sure, I'll be up for that." Obviously, if you've seen the movie, you know that his character was killed at the end of Phantom Menace. But he obviously came back as a Force ghost, which obviously left the door open for the character to come back in some sort of form. In that same interview, the actor expressed doubt about the future of the Star Wars franchise, saying, "I'm sort of wondering, is Star Wars starting to fade away from the cinema landscape?" Probably not.
I know that just makes me think he actually saw the sequel trilogies.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe he saw. So obviously we have Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out, and obviously other Disney Star Wars projects, the third season of The Mandalorian, the Boba Fett spinoff, and obviously, you know, other things that we know, The Bad Batch. I think there was a trailer or something today, yeah, for that too. So obviously Star Wars isn't going away. Maybe it's not going to be as cinematic as, you know, maybe that was kind of where he was going with it. But,
you know, talking specifically to him reprising his role, it's worth noting that Darth Maul got cut in half and they brought him back too.
True.
There's nothing to say that we can't bring him back.
It's kind of like with soap operas. Just because they died doesn't mean they're not dead forever.
Qui-Gon learned the secret of turning into a Force ghost and has passed that along. So I think that was significant, but I could totally see Obi-Wan out in the middle of the desert living by himself there, having hallucinations at least.
Right. You know, I could see that.
He might not actually be there.
Right.
But he might think he's there. I mean,
true.
You know, Obi-Wan had Force ghost appearances after he died too.
Right. True.
So there's no reason for that.
Yeah. So.
But to his point about, you know, Star Wars, I think Disney learned a major lesson trying to flood the market with Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to recreate, we've talked about this in the past, to recreate that Marvel Cinematic Universe with a movie coming out every few months, and found that you can't do that with Star Wars. It doesn't work. Well, when you make terrible movies, it doesn't work. If you make good movies, if you make Rogue One level movies every time, it will work.
They haven't found their niche yet, because with Marvel, they're doing different characters in so many of the things.
And, you know, in all fairness, Marvel had a couple stinkers in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
Iron Man 2 was terrible, and all the Hulk movies were horrible, and pretty much all the Thor movies were horrible. It was the movies where they were all together that was really good.
All the assembled movies.
Right. Once they've been assembled, it's okay. Some assembly required.
You need to go to IKEA and get your Allen wrench.
But yeah, I think he makes a point that Star Wars has kind of found its niche in television, in serial form at this point in time. And it's not the first time. I mean, you know, you had your Clone Wars, you had your Rebels, you had, what was that other one that nobody liked? Resistance or whatever it was.
Right.
You know, they've had their run in animation. And I think they surprised a lot of people with their live action.
Right.
And it's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a Star Wars fan myself, I'm perfectly happy getting my snippets of the Star Wars universe that way. And then doing a Star Wars movie, as long as it's not directed by Rian Johnson.
That's your only prerequisite.
I'll be perfectly honest. I'm very excited to see what Taika Waititi comes out with his movie. That's going to be awesome.
That has to be awesome because
he's awesome.
Because he's awesome.
Speaking of awesome, we have more Obi-Wan news to talk about.
Yeah, so it seems that they have now unveiled the cast for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So Disney Plus revealed the cast for the upcoming special event series that is set 10 years after the events of Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. So joining Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christian in the series are Moses Ingram, Joel Edgerton, Bonnie Pleiades, Kumala, I'm going to totally...
Guess we should have rehearsed this.
Probably Rupert Friend, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Unfortunately, none of these names sound familiar, but maybe it's one of those things if I saw them, I would know who they are. But no details on their actual characters had been given yet. Production, as you had mentioned, will begin in April. The return of Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader in the new series was actually announced back in November, so we've known about that for a while. Obi-Wan Kenobi will be directed by Deborah Cho, whose credits include two episodes of The Mandalorian, has not yet actually given a premiere date. Obviously, we know things had gotten pushed back because of COVID, because I think they were originally supposed to be coming out with it in 2021, I think, when they had first announced it. Obviously, if they're not even starting to film, we're probably looking at maybe a January 2022, maybe.
Possibly.
So we'll see.
Depends on how quickly they rush it and any production issues they run into.
Right. And Disney, what's nice with Disney is they don't like to have things all come out at the same time. They kind of like to
well, that's how you milk your subscriptions, especially when you're increasing your rates on your subscriptions.
Absolutely. So obviously we know
which
we'll
I noticed
have...
we cleverly didn't cover increase in the Disney Plus subscriptions
because we pay for it annually. So
yeah.
So I didn't notice. We'll notice next whatever when the bill comes.
Well, since we're not going to the parks and getting an increase in a park tickets, we got to give it to Disney somehow.
Right. And I get Disney dollars. So technically I'm not paying for it.
That's really all that matters. Right?
Some respect, I guess. Yeah. So we'll obviously, as they start filming, we'll obviously probably hear more in terms of dates as things come.
Right. And I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Just like you, I'm not familiar with a lot of the cast that they announced, but that actually kind of interests me.
Yes.
Because one of the things that Star Wars really did well in its very early inception
right.
was bringing the talents of people out that were largely unfamiliar to audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did that again with, to a certain extent, they did it with Solo.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, they did it with Mandalorian. So it's one of those things right. where they kind of have
that's
this,
kind of their thing.
Yeah, that's their thing, and they've done a very good job. I'd much rather see that. I also did see Russell Crowe signed on. I had to look up the article, but I just saw Russell Crowe signed on to one of the shows that we liked.
So, oh, okay.
I'd rather see that than to see a whole bunch of people that are big name stars mm-hmm. who are fighting for attention and competing because mm-hmm. a lot of times you don't get the kind of selfless dynamic that you would expect to see from the kind of show that we look for.
Right, right.
So anyway, very much looking forward to that. And that was all we had for our Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy. That's Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm fried today. It's a good thing it's a long weekend.
For some.
Don't be jealous.
I'm not.
You still
owe me a vacation day.
I do. I know. I stole yours last week.
Yeah.
I'll do your job tomorrow for you. How's that?
Okay.
You might not have a job on Monday if I do, though.
Okay.
That's it for Tales from the Edge of Galaxy. We'll be right back with our entertainment news.
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com. Dum 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 dum.
Go for entertainment news.
So it seems What We Do in the Shadows is getting a spinoff that will land on the CW and HBO Max. So the broadcast network will get its first airings of a Wellington Paranormal from Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. So the world of What We Do in the Shadows is now expanding. So the CW and HBO Max have jointly acquired Wellington Paranormal, a spinoff of the 2014 vampire mockumentary, which also spawned the FX series What We Do in the Shadows. The show is the first joint acquisition by the two outlets. HBO Max is the parent company of Warner Media, which jointly owns the CW with Viacom CBS. So under the agreement, the CW will get the first airings of the show, which is set to be part of its summer schedule. A premiere date has yet to be determined. And then HBO Max will stream the episodes a day after the broadcast debut, as will the broadcaster's ad-supported streaming platforms. So HBO Max has a full season of streaming rights of some other CW original series, including Batwoman, Nancy Drew, Walker, Superman and Lois, Kung Fu and the Republic of Sarah, which they'll be airing as well after it airs on the CW. Wellington Paranormal stars two of the stars who were part of the original film, and they'll be reprising their roles. They actually played two hardworking members of the Wellington, New Zealand Paranormal Unit. Under the leadership of the sergeant, the unit investigates the surprisingly regular supernatural occurrences in the city capital. They had Clement and Waititi had created the series with executive producer Paul Yates. The New Zealand Documentary Board produces the series, actually. So it's funny. I don't remember who these two characters were because it's been so long since we saw the original movie, but they were kind of like...
I think we're very show-centric now that the movie's
kind right, of that the movie... We kind of have to, like, go back and watch. So I think it was one of those things where these were kind of like two police officers that were kind of walking around and there was something going on. They were like, oh yeah, that happens all the time, or it'll probably be a good thing maybe for us to go back and watch the original movie to kind of refresh. Oh, absolutely. To kind of refresh ourselves. So, you know, here's another spin on it. And obviously this will take place because the television series takes place in New York.
Right.
And so this part will actually take place in New Zealand, more than likely. So should be interesting.
And again, it's another project from Taika Waititi. So it's going to be
so awesome. We know it's going to be hysterical. So yeah,
it can't help but, you know, be awesome. And the show itself is great, too. I can't wait for the show to come back.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Tell us about National Treasure.
So fans who have been, you know, looking for clues about the future of National Treasure are in luck. Deadline is reporting that Disney Plus has green-lighted a new TV spin-off series with an order for 10 episodes. The new series will hand the reins of the expansion of the action-adventure franchise over to a new Latina lead named Jessie Morales. The 20-year-old dreamer Jess, along with her friends, will become involved in a new adventure revolving around the mysteries of her family tree while discovering some hidden treasure along the way. You'll recall that Disney Plus series had been in the works for the streaming service now. There was actually news about this last May that was kind of teased because the franchise producer, Jerry Bruckheimer, had said that they were actually looking at doing a third movie, but they were also looking at doing a television series as well. He had said, "We're certainly working on one for streaming and we're working on one for the big screen. So hopefully they'll both come together and we'll be bringing another national treasure, to both screens." So from what they were talking about, the theatrical version will reprise the cast from the original movies, but the television series will actually be a much younger cast going on different adventures. So I don't think they had, there's no confirmed dates yet, but obviously more will be coming out, as they start filming and whatnot. So,
and I see this as good news because they're fixing the one single biggest problem.
I knew you were gonna go there.
That I think the movies had, because the movies were actually pretty good, but they had Nicolas Cage. So by pulling Nicolas Cage out and putting literally anybody else in there,
well, it sounds like it'll be almost like a young adult version.
Oh, like a young Indiana Jones, because that
kind
series
of
went well.
I like that.
It didn't last very long, and
whatever,
we know what happened to the star of it.
Well, yeah. Anyway,
but, so hopefully it's better than that.
Right. And so it kind of sounds better. Like that's, where it's they're not going to be on the same journey or looking for the same items, but this same.
Because they already found the other items.
Right. They're already. Right. Gotcha.
So you don't need to find them again. Right.
Right. Right. We already know where it is.
Why is it the last place you look is the place where you find it? Well, because you don't keep looking after you find it. Right. So it's got to be the last place. Anyway, I think that was it for our entertainment news and
sure
for my poor attempt at a comedy sketch here. We'll be right back with our insightful picks. Go for your insightful pick.
So my insightful pick happened to be something that I came across on Disney Plus. As we've mentioned before, our daughter and I, we have our TV time every night where we would watch different movies, different TV shows. We actually had just finished Dinosaurs, the series from the late 90s, or the early 90s, I should say. So that we just finished up the other day, and I was looking for something else to find, and I saw this, show. And I was like, let's start watching it. And it's called The Secret of Sulphur Springs. It's streaming on Disney Plus. And it's an American horror mystery television series. It actually premiered in January of 2021. The series is set in a fictional Louisiana town of Sulphur Springs. So after his dad gets a new job, 12-year-old Griffin Campbell moves into the closed town, the closed down and dilapidated Tremont Hotel in Sulphur Springs, Louisiana, which is supposedly haunted by Savannah Dillon, a camper at the Tremont camp who disappeared 30 years ago. With his new best friend Harper from his school, Griffin discovers a portal which takes the two back in time 30 years to 1990. I think that was the...
That's so long ago.
That was the part that kind of killed me. I'm like, going back to 1990? That was 30 years ago? Ugh. And when they do that, they meet and find out what's happening to Savannah Dillon and try and save her from disappearing. It's kind of reminiscent of the different, like, Nickelodeon mystery shows that the little Goosebumps and Who's Afraid of the Dark or Are You Afraid of the Dark, that kind of thing. So wasn't sure if our daughter was gonna like it, because she's not really into the horror or the mystery thing, but it's not too over the top, and it's definitely more mystery. Like, you find out that not everything, you know, what the parents said happened didn't really happen. Everybody kind of has a secret. So she's really enjoying it, which is nice. And it's something, you know, different, out of the norm for what we would normally watch. So probably meant for a little bit older, you know, teenage, you know, 10, 11, you know, as long as they're not afraid of spooky sounds or whatnot. But half hour episodes, I want to say there's maybe 8 or 9 episodes, to the season. No word if this is like a one and done. But we're definitely enjoying it. And the one thing was on DisneyNow.com, they actually have little snippets that you can watch after each episode where they have cast members talking about what had happened on the show and their theories about what's going forward in the next episode. So a nice little add-on for those watching the show.
Cool. Nice pick.
Thank you.
So my pick this week is a pick that is a documentary on Hulu called Back in Time. We're big fans of Back to the Future. We recently had our daughter watch the trilogy there, and she liked it too. So Back in Time is an amazing look at the immense cultural impact of the Back to the Future trilogy 30 years. And so this is kind of, this is a...
1990!
This is a 2015 documentary.
Okay.
So it's a few years old. So it's a look at the cultural impact of the Back to the Future trilogy 30 years after McFly and Brown went on an epic adventure. A look at the very real impact the Back to the Future movies have had on our culture. What was once a little idea that spawned a tightly focused documentary has grown into something truly amazing over 2 years of filming. Back in Time is a cinematic monument to the vastness of the trilogy's fandom. In addition to the footage and interviews revolving around the time machine itself, the DeLorean, the crew found that simply by delving into the impact of the trilogy, an epic journey began to unfold before them. So the documentary itself was something that they started out almost like a fan project, like a Kickstarter backed fan project thing to put something together. And that turned into a monumental journey. The crew captured countless hours of footage during filming, from Steven Spielberg to Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale to the Shays and Hollers, and from James Tolkien and Leah Thompson to Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox. Back in Time features interviews after interview that simply must be seen. And that's kind of what blew my mind, is they had such access to all the stars. They would go to fan conventions that happen across the world, really.
Okay.
Because the one that they did was down in, I think, Australia. And they would talk to the people that attend these. And, you know, they went not just Back to the Future conventions, they went to DeLorean conventions.
Oh, okay.
And they talked to people, like the community itself, of people that buy the roughly 3,000 DeLoreans that survive and try to turn them into time machines.
Okay.
And they talked to this one husband and wife who actually were volunteers for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Mm-hmm. And the husband had been diagnosed. He was given 6 months to live. And they decided that they wanted to buy a DeLorean. He that was his bucket list. He wanted his DeLorean and wanted to turn it into a time machine. And like 8 years later, the man is still going because of the passion of what that project did for them. They've driven had a mission once they built this DeLorean to drive it to all 50 states, which they've accomplished doing. And they've raised countless amounts of money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's. And it was just their story alone would have made the documentary worth it. Mm-hmm. But they go into all the festivals that happen. Like there's one that was in New Zealand where they recreate the town.
Oh, wow.
Complete with the houses. So you walk through Biff Tannen's house and each person's house. And, and it's neat because when you park out in the parking lot. And when you walk through, they create a Peabody's farm. And you walk through the farm and they have farm animals and everything. And then you come into the town square everyone watched the movie in the town square and they did a play. It was really well done. It was not your typical type of documentary. But the thing that really gave it the gravitas was the fact that you had people like Michael J. Fox featured in here, Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, Robert Zemeckis. They all made time
to be part of,
no pun intended, but to be a part of this documentary. Mm-hmm. And it was a really well done documentary. Totally blew my mind. Hmm. So Back in Time is streaming now on Hulu. We'll be right back with some afterthoughts. So where are we going?
So obviously we know that San Diego Comic-Con is still going to be virtual this year. But one of the little conventions that is usually in our area, Monster Mania, they usually hold it twice a year. They are doing something a little different this year. They are doing Monster Mania's mini little mall of horrors. They're actually doing it at a different location than they normally do. It's actually going to be in Oaks, Pennsylvania at the Pennsylvania Expo Center. And this is actually a location that we've gone to for other different events. But what's neat about this is not only is it going to be a little shopping center, is they're also going to have some celebrities there. So it's kind of like a miniature convention. Tickets are just $13 a day. As of right now, Saturday is completely sold out. They are limiting the amount of people. You do have to buy your tickets in advance. Obviously, social distancing is asked and masks are required. It's the first time ever that they're doing this little outdoor mall of horrors. And they're doing it on Saturday, May 22nd and Sunday, May 23rd. They will have over 150 vendors in a large 6-acre paved fairground. Vendors have been waiting since March of last year to do any sort of show. So this is kind of going to be, interesting, different, kind of an outside version. Normally, Monster Mania is held in one of the local hotels in Cherry Hill, and it's usually very packed and very crowded. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this goes. We did buy tickets because we're jonesing for
something. Desperate to get to a convention.
So it's you know, usually it's a convention that we go to, not necessarily to see any of the celebrities, usually to, you know, walk around and just be among other people. So we did buy tickets already. So it should be interesting to see, you know, maybe we'll film some of it, you know, for a later show. And maybe depending on how successful this is, maybe it'll be something they continue to do, you know, a couple times a year. So we'll see.
What else we got?
So another thing that kind of popped up was, obviously, we see a lot of bands that have been coming out and doing online concerts, different streaming events. But this was one that popped up. Bare Naked Ladies is going to be doing a little concert. It's not a full concert. It's actually going to be just an hour, and they're calling it Flippin' Hits with BNL, a night of monster jams of a pandemic proportions. It's a streaming event that's only going to be played once. They're not going to be doing any post-broadcast viewing of it. It'll be a 60-minute greatest hits concert that they filmed in Toronto. What's nice about it, though, is they have a whole bunch of different ticket prices, and the cheapest one is actually $15. So really not that expensive. I think there was one that was $30 that included a copy of their greatest hit CD along with a ticket to the show. So the concert is going to be on April 17th at 9 o'clock. So if anybody is a Bare Naked Ladies fan and you're looking for a concert, obviously not to go to, because again, you know, everybody's social distancing, at least you can get some sort of music entertainment.
Nice. So a couple of little things that might be signaling a little bit of return to normalcy here.
Yeah.
And we've got what was the other convention that was coming up that they were splitting?
Well, that was San Diego, where right. they were going to be doing the virtual,
and then they're doing
and then possibly later. Something yeah. and then supposedly the summer ZoloCon is supposed to be, which ZoloCon usually for our area usually would be in February. They're looking at a July date. So we'll see. And I think what you're going to see is for any of the conventions or any of the shows, kind of like with anything else, you're going to have to buy your ticket in advance. You're going to have to buy it ahead of time.
A little bit more planning, a little bit more prep.
Right. You're not going to be able to just the day of, hey, let me go and see. They're not going to let people in, or they'll do time tickets, you know, so that not everybody is coming in. So you'll probably see that, you know, for the next little while. But at least it's something.
We're getting
there.
So
we're getting there.
We're getting there. And I think that was all we had today.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, I would ask folks once again to subscribe to the podcast. If you subscribe, you'll get it first thing Monday morning at 8 when they go live. You can get us the video versions of our podcast. If you look up Insights into Things, you'll get the video versions of all the network's podcasts. Audio versions of this podcast you can find under Insights into Entertainment. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, any place you can get a podcast. And we also, you know, again, ask you to reach out to us. Give us your feedback. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com.
You can find us on Twitter at @insights_things.
We stream 6 days a week on Twitch at twitch.tv/insightsintothings.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightsintothingspodcast.
The audio versions of this podcast can be found at podcast.insightsintoentertainment.com.
You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/insightsintothings.
High-res versions of our videos can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/insightsintothings.
And you can find us on the web with links to everything for all of our different podcasts at insightsintothings.com.
That's it. Another one in the books.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.